It's freaking cold.
You got frostbite yet?
In the frigid Canadian North, young pilots seeking adventure.
That's why all those guys are up here.
Battle the elements in World War II planes. On this episode, an alarm in the Electra. Mutiny on the ground.
I'm trying to tell you what we're going to do here.
And Graham's fortunes take a hit as Andrew zooms ahead.
That defines Graham.
Stuck.
Military base in Trenton, Ontario, a Buffalo Airways Electra is getting set to begin its longest cargo haul ever.
What are you indicating on the gauge there now?
It's right here at the white arc.
It's in the white arc?
Yeah.
Okay, well, as long as it's in the white arc, we're good.
Captain Brian Harrison, co-pilot Sean Berry, second officer Scott Blue, and engineer Adam Smith have to fly nearly 200,000 pounds of building supplies to Resolute Bay in the high Arctic.
Big long crates. I presume there was building beams in them because they were very heavy.
The military is building a brand new warehouse in Resolute Bay, and they had to move their warehouse and all the support stuff.
Senior manager Dwayne Hicks landed the $500,000 contract and set up the whole mission.
This is the little town I'm from.
But he's taking a few days off to see his family in Aylmer, Ontario.
Oh, hello.
This is Carly. This is what life's all about right here. It's my daughter.
Dwayne is betting that the crew can manage things on their own.
The load was ready. It was an easy load to do. There's just some crazy boxes.
He told us all the way down, I'll be there, you know, I'm going to be looking after the loading and the fueling and stuff. And then all of a sudden, poof, he's gone.
I wasn't staying there to babysit. What's the point? You don't need a guy to babysit. So I said, I'm going back to Southern Ontario. Everybody knew I was going back to my own place.
Okay, before takeoff, checklist. Okay, RPM switches are normal.
It's a big contract for Dwayne in Buffalo. But if something goes sideways in the high Arctic, Dwayne will be thousands of kilometers away.
Hey, ready to go, guys?
Ready, ready.
The Electra crew is heading 3,500 kilometers north to Resolute Bay with a fuel stop in Coral Harbor.
After Metropolis of Coral Harbor, I believe in sight.
Yes.
On the northern edge of Hudson's Bay, Coral Harbor is a small Inuit community about two-thirds of the way to Resolute.
There's a runway right in front of us.
200. 100.
Oh. The 800 residents don't get too many visitors.
What's your name?
Sapa.
Yeah. Scott, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Did you come out just to say hello?
Yes.
No way.
Hey, Dad, how are you doing?
Folks are just out to see us. We came and stopped to get some fuel, so they just come out to talk to us.
Come on.
Take some
doing?
Pictures of us in the airplane.
But then, this short fuel stop hits a snag.
We showed up to fuel the airplane here, and the fuel truck ran out of fuel after about a quarter of what we needed.
I guess they showed up there and the guy only had 2,000 liters left in his truck, and they had it took him 2 hours to go to town to fill his truck up, fill it up.
Time is tight today. We're trying to get everything done within a certain amount of hours. It's not happening right now.
I don't know if what they keep in their damn truck. That's not my responsibility.
It's easy to pass the buck. The fact still remains is that when we landed in Coral Harbor, there was no fuel in the truck.
2 hours later, the Electra is fueled up. But this delay puts them behind. Dwayne's schedule is already coming apart.
We're going to have to start early tomorrow, too, and it's just going to keep multiplying on us. If we don't get a little rest in the airplane, we're going to be screwed. Couldn't agree with you more.
After every duty day, the pilots must rest for at least 8 hours before flying again. Finally, they make it to Resolute Bay.
Don't put the steel on the port.
Late, and they still have to load a dozen snowmobiles for the base in Greenwood, Nova Scotia, the Electra's final destination today. Over the next week and a half, the crew will make 5,000-7,000-kilometer round trips between Greenwood and Resolute to deliver the rest of the warehouse materials.
It's slow, long, cold process. I don't think we're going to get it done because I think the duty days are going to run out. Might take 8 or 9.
But Dwayne guaranteed the military it would be done on time. The contract depends on it.
It was a very late contract to be bid. And one of the requirements was it was to be done by the 31st of March because that's the year end for the military.
You know, the time frame and the amount of flying and the amount of crew rest that you have to take to do that amount of flying is, you know, the mathematics, you know, it's pretty easy to add up how long it's going to take you.
The crew will need a miracle to meet the deadline. But not long after takeoff.
What the...
The engine overspeed alarm goes off. One of the propellers must be spinning out of control. But Brian's gauges don't show that.
Jesus Christ. Have you done that before? Nope.
At 26 years old, Adam is still learning about Buffalo's most complicated plane. The alarm stops.
Yeah. Find it?
No, I didn't touch it.
Oh, okay. We threatened it.
But Adam doesn't know why, or what started it in the first place. Hours later, the Electra arrives in Greenwood, Nova Scotia.
We had just spent a long amount of time flying all day. We just want to go to bed.
But the soldiers on the tarmac have orders to get the next load of cargo on the Electra tonight.
And guess what? There was 8 military guys standing there waiting to help.
The exhausted crew sticks around to supervise the load.
I just got a text from Sean Berry asking where the man at, like what the load's supposed to be. I want Adam to stay and load the plane. Everyone else to hotel. Period.
But Dwayne has little influence from his living room. All four members of the crew keep loading.
Loading some boxes of concrete to take away the heck up to Risland Bay. Good 2,000 mile trip.
But staying up to supervise the loading means the three pilots must start much later tomorrow.
Nobody's respecting the schedule. Adam is the one that doesn't have a timeline and doesn't have hours to worry about. So now I got the whole freaking crew out there.
Rudder lock. How are you getting up there? I'm ready to call Superman for a lift. Out of the way.
We were all frustrated. Brian was frustrated too. Like, it's not coordinated.
The crew has already put in a very long day.
That's good, guys. We'll just leave it there.
Dwayne's original plan had them departing for Resolute in the morning, but now that's not going to happen.
Hey, get some in the front.
This just screws up the whole timeline. Tomorrow's going to be a late start. I don't even think they're going to get going until 1 or 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Management always thinks that flight crews are morons, and flight crews always think management's morons.
What the heck are they doing?
Trouble. Only a few days into this $500,000 contract, and Dwayne's not there.
What a frickin' mess.
Graham Ferguson used to be just another rampy, but for the past year and a half, he's been a co-pilot on the daily DC-3 passenger flight between Hay River and Yellowknife.
Yeah, I gotta take care of this one first.
Roger.
Flying under the critical eye of Buffalo President Joe McBrien.
Flying with Joe's been good, I guess. He hasn't been too angry or upset or anything, so it's been going good.
Over the years, Joe's flown with many young pilots.
Some progress up a steep slope, and it's hard to keep up to them after they get going. And some reach a plateau level off.
Graham feels he's been progressing.
I really want to get checked out on something bigger, get a little fly time. We'll see what happens, right? Nothing ever goes according to plan around here.
But this morning, General Manager Mikey McBrien has a change of plans for Graham.
Well, hey, Graham, what's going to happen now is we're going to check you on the 46.
Actually checking me out on the 46?
Yeah, move you over the 46.
That's freaking fantastic.
So, you and Larry will be our 46 guys.
So,
is that good?
Yeah, cool.
So get your 46 numbers done.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't expecting that at all, so, like, it just, like, not now anyway, it's just quick, so that's good.
The C-46 is larger, heavier, and much more difficult to handle than the smooth-flying DC-3. It's a big step for a young pilot. After 18 months as Buffalo Joe's co-pilot, it looks like Graham will be moving up. In Greenwood, Nova Scotia, the Electra is sitting idle. It was supposed to be on a tight schedule. It was supposed to be flying to Resolute Bay.
We're not flying today. We made the call to take a few hours of rest and go first thing tomorrow morning. So we're getting a suite tour, which beats the heck out of sitting around the hotel room flipping, you know, TV stations. This is amazing.
After working around the clock yesterday, Captain Brian Harrison decided that the crew needed a day off.
So they got to Greenwood, and of course they're tired. So now they decide, take it upon themselves, that we'll just wait because we want to get back on the daytime schedule. So they decided to miss the load.
Their tour of the Greenwood military base includes inspecting an airplane that looks very familiar. The Lockheed Aurora is a newer version of the Electra, with some serious modifications.
I think it's about the same length, but a lot of that length is a sub-hunting probe.
Got about 50 of them under here. They pound out of the airplane, go into the water, track submarines.
These days, the Aurora is mainly used for offshore surveillance. But it was designed during the Cold War for anti-submarine warfare and flew NATO missions during the 1980s. today, the Buffalo crew will fly the Aurora. Sort of.
I've been in lots of simulators, so it's fun for you guys. You guys just play. I've played lots before, so.
A quick pre-start check.
This Aurora flight simulator is a $3 million full motion experience that can trick a pilot into thinking he's actually flying.
They're not going to be able to believe how much like the airplane it really is.
And once number two comes up, we'll do a quick start.
I like shaking.
Sat in the seat and it's comfortable. It's like fairly familiar. Didn't feel out of the norm.
Taking off, Sean pulls a stunt that could get him arrested in the real world.
I took off and I came around and I went by the tower at like 200 feet.
He buzzes the tower.
I just had to do it.
Sean does a flyby at the tower. He did a little Top Gun style there. And Scott's sitting there going, what the f*** are you doing?
The tower remains intact. But a nearby ship that's part of the simulator's program isn't so fortunate.
Oh, he's sinking.
500 feet.
Okay, we need to dispatch the rescue kit thing out of the bunk bay.
How the hell do we do that?
Oh, he's upside down.
Oh, no, that's
bye bye.
Bye, see you later. I screwed up that one.
Fly around to where the fuel.
After half an hour of play, Sean is ready to land. But the instructor has a surprise.
Just froze the gear on him.
Oh, shit. That's not good.
Came back to land and then tried to put the gear down, and the gear didn't work. So all of a sudden we're thrown into this simulated emergency.
Yeah, you hear it says stuck. Stuck. I try to pull it up and belly it in.
As they wrestle with the stuck landing gear, another alarm goes off. Now they have no landing gear and an engine fire.
So we went through the checklist, so we dumped some fuel and shut the inboard engines down, and then we shut the outboards down just on final.
108, name is 101.
We landed, we bellied it in, wrecked the thing. It shakes and vibrates and
nice work, John Perry! What the f*** did you do to my airplane?
Gearbox gun.
It may have been a simulation, but for Sean, it felt very real.
I'm sweating. My hands are red.
You can look out the side window and see that the propellers are gone and stuff after the belly landing, so it's pretty realistic.
He was saying, he's like, it's ridiculous. Hands are sweaty.
Yeah, people get sick in there all the time. Yeah. Physically sick.
While the crew is having fun, Dwayne Hicks is fuming. Their day off could push the job past the deadline.
Well, I thought picking this crew that we could really hit the deadlines that we need to hit, but now I'm beginning to second-guess myself, and it's not very good. I picked this crew because they can haul ass. You know, that Brian, he's a hell of a workhorse, and he's got a great pedigree, but I really don't know what the hell's going on now.
Co-pilot Graham Ferguson received good news today. He's going to be trained on the big C-46, but he has no time to celebrate. He's got to fuel up Joe's DC-3 for the daily sked flight. And there's a problem.
We got two fuel trucks. One of them was leaking.
They're already hectic day.
The pump attachment on the truck is broken. So Graham decides to fuel the DC-3 by hand. One can at a time.
See, about 100 gallons, so about 20 trips with this ought to do it. It's just a slow process.
Fueling the plane by hand takes an hour. And Graham is late plugging in the engine heaters.
You're not at stress for sure. You got a pretty strict timeline when you're doing the sked. Like, it's got to be up and ready to go, and everything's got to be freaking perfect. It takes an extra hour, so there's no stopping today.
Graham barely completes all his duties when the passengers and Joe board the plane. Flying the DC-3 sked with Joe is Graham's daily job.
If they're not on their A game, they can't be on the sked. Because you know what? You got up to 27 people in the back. You have the boss, and you have lots of freight.
Where are you at the checklist?
I'm on lineups, just waiting on the POE and the cowgirls.
Graham needs to keep meeting Joe's high standards if he's going to move up to flying the more difficult C-46.
If you can't earn Joe's trust flying to Hay River and back, I mean, how's he going to trust you going up the valley or going on some long trip?
168, you're clear for takeoff, runway 15.
Clear to go, 168.
As they taxi to the runway, Joe notices the engine oil temperature is low.
Was the left oil plugged in the same as the other one?
It was, but they got plugged in a little late today.
Why were they plugged in late?
Didn't get around to it until later.
Graham knows better than to give Joe excuses about the fuel truck.
What did it tell getting it ready?
We threw heat on the engines because it wasn't plugged in.
And he also knows that Joe is always watching his performance in the cockpit.
You'll be doing departing at 42 inches. I want to lift the airplane off level.
Roger.
When I fly with Joe, I fly different than I fly with other captains. When I fly with other captains, I fly to learn. I fly to get better and be, like, literally the best I can. But with Joe, I fly more not to get yelled at, it seems.
If Graham's C-46 dreams are to come true, he's got to stay on Joe's good side. One mistake, and those dreams could come crashing down.
They're doing some training on the C-46.
In Yellowknife, DC-3 co-pilot Graham Ferguson is moving up to a much bigger plane. The C-46 Curtis Commando.
Yeah, I've been wanting to fly this thing forever. There's only about a dozen of these things left flying on the planet. And these are pretty iconic aircraft. What's going on?
That's a new ram up there. All rebuilt ram.
Yeah.
Graham is training with Captain Devin Brooks.
When it comes down and drips a bit on the tire, just residue.
The first step towards getting certified on the C-46.
Okay. Yeah, this is pretty cool. But, I mean, still, this is just going up to do some training. It's not a checkout as of yet.
Well, you know, it's his first flight in the 46. You know, they're all stressed out trying to impress a captain.
As Graham prepares to fly, fellow DC-3 co-pilot Andrew Vike isn't going anywhere.
I'm bored. I need to be challenged. I need to do something different. I either need to get promoted onto another airplane, or I need to find something else.
Both Andrew and Graham arrived at Buffalo 2 years ago. They became friends and worked their way up the rampy ladder together.
It's Buffalo, you grind it out.
And after 6 months on the ramp, they both got their big break on the DC-3.
Are you ready, Andrew?
I hope so.
Well, you're a DC-3 pilot now. Thank Congratulations.
You. Be crying tears of joy if my eyeballs weren't frozen.
But now, 18 months later, Andrew and Graham's friendship has iced over.
Graham's a unique individual, let's put it that way.
I work really hard, but I don't go out of my way to be noticed as much as some other people do.
The two co-pilots are competing for an opportunity to advance. And Andrew doesn't like falling behind.
If I don't get the 46 or the 4 or something, if I'm stuck on the DC-3 without a checkout, then I'll be pissed. I worked way too f***ing hard for this shit, man. And if that does happen, I will actively search to get out of here.
As Andrew stews, Graham is about to realize a dream.
Buffalo Stringer 1 Tower, maintain runway heading for now. Clear to take off runway 09.
There you go. Just slowly. There you go. I have the throttle. Clear throttle.
Very good.
Roll on her. There you go.
Graham is finally in control of a C-46.
We can do a couple times here on the procedure turn.
But this is a training flight, so Devin's putting him through his paces.
So the best way and easiest way to get into it is to make the do your S turn. So you're doing your S turn like this. I mean, they're coming in like this, Dave. Yeah. Do your S turn, then you go out like that.
So make a right and then a left to 019. So make it now.
But you might want to put your gear down.
Roger.
Graham executes the turns and begins his approach.
Buffalo 301 Tower, number 1, runway 15.
Got two flaps.
We'll take 3 flaps.
Set your ass right on that center line and look at the end of the runway.
Roger.
Hold it, hold it, hold it. Hold it, hold it. Keep a steady descent. You're at 85 knots right now. Just keep the nose down. Keep the nose down. Keep the nose down. Don't dive. Here's throttle.
Roger.
Hold. Just control it. Let that tail come down. That's what we want on this. We want the tail down, unlike the DC-3 one.
Graham flew it fine. Of course, he doesn't know everything about the airplane. You have to tell him a few things, but he flew it fine.
This is good. It's good. This is educational. Yeah, learned lots. It was good. I gotta hit the books more. I wanna know the aircraft a little bit better.
Graham still has a long way to go to master the toughest plane in the fleet.
In the morning. I think there's a song about that. 4 a.m, but I don't think they were loading the cement.
In Greenwood, Nova Scotia, the Electra crew is under the gun.
We're on flight number 3, our first one out of Greenwood. It's Tuesday morning, 4:35 a.m.
Yesterday's rest day has put them way behind schedule to deliver over 100,000 pounds of construction materials to Resolute Bay.
Power, Sean.
Okay. Now they have to play catch up to meet the deadline. But just as they're about to take off, the engine overspeed alarm sounds again.
Wow.
We lost torque, John.
This time, the problem is very real.
Basically, the engine is turning over faster than it should.
There's no prop control at all. There's no control of the RPM on the propeller because it went right to the fuel top again. Well, the auto feather system did exactly what it's supposed to do. And it's been telling us this for 3 days. And that's why I always say this airplane talks to you.
She was talking to us. And we didn't listen as much as we should have.
Well, I don't think Adam's going to be able to handle this one.
Scott trusts me. Sean trusts me. But Brian, no f***ing trust at all.
So Brian makes a call to Yellowknife, trying to reach Buffalo's most experienced Electra engineer.
I got to talk to Luby about what he thinks is wrong and see what's happening. So when you get this message, please give me a call.
This is the first one I've had in the Electra. Electra basically just shuts itself down. It's got auto feather. It just goes, this is no good. You.
They could be grounded for days, leaving Buffalo in breach of contract. On the tarmac in Greenwood, Nova Scotia, Buffalo engineer Adam Smith is desperately trying to fix an engine overspeed problem on the Electra.
Is this Libby?
While Captain Brian Harrison tries to get help from a more experienced engineer.
Yeah, I need to talk to him. If you can wake him up, that'd be awesome.
Brian was in his comfort zone by phoning Luby, so I just let him do it. So I wasn't insulted or anything by it. It's just Brian being cantankerous old f**k.
At his home in Aylmer, Ontario, Buffalo manager Dwayne Hicks has just heard the news.
They took yesterday off, took around in flight simulators and tours of the base, and never even looked at the airplane. And now we're stuck on the ground with an overspeed issue. So.
And they're running out of time to haul 5 cargo loads to Resolute Bay.
It's already hooked up, is that correct? Everything ready to go?
That's why I'm kind of pushing here a little bit, maybe harder than I should be, but we got to get this thing going, and we got to get these trips done.
Brian is about to write off another day when Adam comes through.
It's a lock wire.
It's working now?
It's working now, yeah.
Okay.
I just had to tighten the bolts up. I think it's case ground.
It was kind of comical. And Brian goes, oh, well, I guess I'll stop phoning Luby.
When the gas mat shows up, we'll top it up and we're going to go.
Okay, sounds right. Good. Okay. I like it.
Cool. Looks like we're on the road to recovery here. Adam's got the new rotary actuator on the airplane. He's just securing it. We're going to do a run, and hopefully we can be out of here in the next hour.
Fixed. Airborne in 15 minutes. Awesome. That's why I got Adam on the job.
But this has put the crew even further behind, and they have no time to spare if they're to meet the military's strict deadline.
It was beyond a time constraint. We're in the tank.
This $500,000 contract and Dwayne's reputation are on the line, so he finally makes a move.
Enough of this f***ing around with these guys. It's time to put everything back on track. And the only way to do that is the old school way, show up.
Back at Buffalo, Graham Ferguson has begun his C-46 training, but he's still on the sketch, flying the DC-3 with the boss, Joe McBrien. And Joe is furious. Earlier, he spotted Tyler Sipos putting this red control lock on the rudder.
Hey,
locking the rudder is the co-pilot's responsibility.
I've seen you before, pass it down the rank.
And Graham is the co-pilot.
The guy that puts it on takes it off. You're the co-pilot, you take care of the control lock. If you don't want to take care of the control lock, you get in that truck tonight and I'll pay you 35 cents a pound to go to Evident.
If the rudder control lock isn't removed, it's impossible to steer the plane.
I hold him responsible, all right? If you don't do it, I'll do it. I'm not going to die because I got a control lock on and you guys can't remember who put it on.
It's not the first time Joe has torn a strip off Graham.
If Joe doesn't like flying with him, you're not going to fly with Joe. You're not going to fly with Joe, you just hit a wall.
And Graham has hit that wall. After the flight, he finds himself in Joe's doghouse.
I'm running dogs to the animal hospital in the airport. Joe was, he wasn't really upset at me. He was upset at everyone just standing around. I was just happened to be the most senior guy there to be yelled at. He pretty much said he didn't want to fly with me and he wanted another co-pilot. And he's like, well, the dog can make a better co-pilot than you.
He was pretty serious when he said it.
Serious enough to kick Graham off the daily sked and into a courier van.
Well, yeah, well, at least he's driving a courier van. Could have been living in a dumpster, too, if I kicked his ass hard enough.
For Joe, motivating young pilots is like coaching a hockey team.
You have your good and your bad. Some are in the box and some aren't. They aren't always on the ice, are they?
Right up, Russ.
So he has to have a little time in the box and think about things. And when he comes out, you see how he is. If not, back to the box.
Graham is grounded and his C-46 training shut down by Joe.
Will Graham make it? If he sticks with it, he's going to show everybody how strong he really is.
He's stuck.
Things are going a lot better for Andrew Veit. He's just been scheduled for a checkout on the DC-4, the big 4-engine piston pounder, while Graham is back on the ramp.
He does all the things that Joe really doesn't want him to do, which for me is fantastic. It makes me look incredible. I don't think I'm that good, but with Graham there, oh, man, I'm the golden child or something.
Unless Joe changes his mind, Graham could find himself spinning his wheels, grounded for good at Buffalo.
That defines Graham. Stuck.
Buffalo's Lockheed Electra crew returns to Greenwood, Nova Scotia, after shuttling another load to a military training center up north. And there's a welcome party to greet them.
Keep going, Razor.
It's a fresh Electra crew, led by Dwayne Hicks.
Had to bring a second crew in. We'll get the damn job done, and that'll be that.
Captain Ray Weber and his crew have been flown in from Yellowknife at great expense to relieve Brian Harrison and his crew.
We're not 24 hours behind, we're 48 hours behind. That's the issue, that's the problem.
Three more loads must be delivered to remote Resolute Bay before the deadline, just days away.
This has to get done and out of here, and I've made arrangements. And plane's coming in now, we'll get this sucker turned and burned.
Dwayne has worked it out so one crew can sleep while the other flies.
Because the military is willing to work 24 hours and the plane's willing to work 24 hours, but the people, individual people, can't work 24 hours.
Hello, Mr. Luby.
Hello, maestro.
How are you doing, my friend?
1,000
questions. Everyone pitches in so the second crew can fly back to Resolute tonight.
So that one goes in front,
yeah,
everything else goes behind.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, and then you got 867. Can't read my writing.
As the captains calculate the weight and balance.
There's the fuel guy. Who's fueling?
Okay, just bring a forklift up.
Dwayne is pushing to get as much cargo on the plane as possible.
Brian, this trip I got an extra, that's 700 pounds.
Well,
can I put it right in the back? Is that all right?
Well, no, it's all right, because
okay.
If...
we won't put it on there then.
Hear me out, though.
We'll put in what we have to put in, and we'll just make do.
You're walking away from me. I'm trying to tell you what we're going to do here.
Fine.
Okay, cool.
Dwayne doesn't want to argue with Brian. He just wants his second crew to get this contract back on track.
Let it down a bit.
There's no more time to f*** around. This has to get done, and that airplane's going to go 24 hours.
Winner just doesn't want to leave.
In Yellowknife, co-pilot Graham Ferguson is back working the ramp, the bottom of the Buffalo ladder.
I just throwing some glycol on the wings of the four so that the snow and slush don't turn to ice.
It looks like he's lost his chance to check out on the C-46. And to make matters worse, Graham has to prep his rival's plane. Andrew Vike is about to be checked out on the DC-4.
Graham has been working really hard, like physically working hard, and he's trying his hardest, but, you know, he's just getting some tough breaks.
But Graham's recent hard work has been noticed.
You talking to Joe today?
No, I haven't talked to
Captain
Joe.
Captain A.J. DeCoste has some good news.
So I think he's going to want to get you a ride on it, so.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, so that's, I just figured I'd tell you that, because you'd like to hear that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you.
Graham's promotion to the C-46 is back on, but he knows how things work at Buffalo.
Things change real quick around here. I don't even want to get my hopes up too much, because they could change real quick the other way too again. So, you know, just be cautiously optimistic. It'll be summer, it'll be winter again.
In Greenwood, Nova Scotia, the Electra arrives to pick up the last load. Dwayne needs to deliver this cargo to Resolute Bay before the midnight deadline, or he'll be in breach of contract with the Canadian military.
It's the last day, and we're finally back on schedule. She's going to be tight, but we're going to do her.
Dwayne's decision to let the crew manage themselves backfired.
We did have a little bit of headbutting on this contract.
In hindsight, I would have stayed with the crew instead of coming home. Yeah, we wouldn't have any of these problems. Probably done a day ahead.
Dwayne had to bring in a second Electra crew to help out. And flying them across the country for just a couple of runs to Resolute was an expensive solution.
We planned for everything going absolutely perfectly. There was virtually no contingency factor in his bid.
Dwayne's failing to allow for snags hasn't escaped Buffalo Joe.
I contribute that to somebody coming out of an environment where they've never been exposed to our type of work, our type of quoting. You can underquote a job so bad, all you can do is go out there and do a bad job. We're not interested in bad jobs. We're only interested in doing a good job. And to do a good job, we have to have a little fudge for all the unknown.
Finally, just after 6 p.m., the Electra leaves Greenwood with the last load. Dwayne will meet the midnight deadline, but just barely.
It worked. I went through hell and it worked. Had to do a little bit of dipsy doodling, but I mean, we got the job done.
My dad's really like a vulture when it comes to f-ups. If he sees something wrong, he attacks it because that's like the weak point.
Joe's not happy with the way things went, and Dwayne could pay the price. At home in Ontario,
all right,
Dwayne Hicks has been out of the Buffalo loop since the Electra contract ended days ago.
The Trenton Greenwood job was, that was about a lot of stress, about as much stress as I'd ever want to go through.
Betty!
I hit that damn deadline at 5 minutes to midnight, so you can't get any closer than that.
He hit the deadline, but his management of the contract didn't go over well with Buffalo Joe.
Dwayne is the type of person who wants to do like 9 different things. And when you do 9 different things, you're going to at least mess up one of them. You do one thing wrong, and you're going to get attacked on it. And that's the Buffalo way.
I've been kind of sitting anxious, waiting to see, you know, what's going on. I haven't heard a word.
It was very curious because usually Mikey's texting me and stuff like that. And I'd text Mikey, say, hey, what's up? You know, anything happening? I never got a response. Nothing.
That's because in Yellowknife, change is in the works.
C-46 doing an engine change. Found a cracked case.
Mikey is breaking in a new manager.
For the day-to-day stuff, we have hired Peter Gillingham, who's basically a logistics man. So it's more of a personal way of doing things, not so impersonal.
Peter's got a background in what we need in planning our flights, planning the weights and planning the fuel and stops and the weather. He's very, very experienced.
Peter has worked for other airlines in Yellowknife, so he knows how things are done in the north. And Peter's approach is nothing like Dwayne's.
What kind of equipment do we need to take along for that? The new guy doesn't come in and you have all this idea of change. You have to kind of sit down, spend 6 months, not say a word, observe what's going on, and most of the questions will answer themselves.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going? Peter from Buffalo.
With Peter in place, Dwayne may no longer be needed day-to-day in Yellowknife.
Take care. Bye.
Dwayne was initially hired, you know, to basically make sure that we're running as best as we could. But once we started running within relative efficiency, his job was kind of done.
Dwayne's role at Buffalo is now on hold, perhaps for good.
Well, I don't know if they'd give up on me, but I'm definitely not giving up on them. That's for sure.